Exploring mindfulness is a unique experience. Asking what mindfulness is a bit like asking what meditation is. You might get a vague answer like, well, it's just sitting somewhere quietly, focusing on your breathing and clearing your mind. Okay. Well, that doesn't tell you too much, right? Similarly, you could look up mindfulness and read that mindfulness is just observing your thoughts and feelings from a distance without judgment. But again, that really doesn't tell you much. Speaking towards the benefits of mindfulness, like meditation, that's a whole other story. Today's guest is extremely well suited to speak about the benefits and teach us how to incorporate mindfulness into our lives. Because as professionals and marketers, if we can be more mindful, then we can do more meaningful work for ourselves and the brands we serve.
What is the DNA of business marketing? How do we market ourselves now and in the future? Brand communications is evolving. Are you? Let's explore together. Spiral upwards. This is Spiral Marketing.
Lisa Norell is the Chief Energy Officer at Energize Growth, helping companies to grow their mind share and their market share. Since 1983, Lisa has worked with brands like Infor, Bazzuto, Zappos, BMC Software, Adobe, Microsoft, and hundreds of entrepreneurs in 9 countries. She has been featured in the U.S. News & World Report, the CMO Council, American Express Open, the San Diego Transcript, Women in Technology, and Computer World. Her work has been endorsed by business luminaries such as Guy Kawasaki, Jill Conrath, Chris Brogan, Chip Conley, seventh generation founder Jeffrey Hollander, Shama Hyder, and award-winning leadership coach Marshall Goldsmith. She is an expert blogger on strategic growth planning for Fast Company and the Huffington Post. Lisa is also an award-winning public speaker and an author of the acclaimed Energize Growth Now and The Mindful Marketer, How to Stay Present and Profitable in a Data-Driven World, which supports this episode's focus of mindfulness in marketing. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Virtual handshake.
Extended right back to you.
Thank you. So, what are we doing this morning?
Oh, well, I thought we might have an interview. How's that sound?
All right, why not?
Before we get into your definition of mindful marketing, it seems like mindfulness is a topic that might be new and maybe even a bit out of people's comfort zone. How do you prepare people to be introduced to the topic?
That's a great question, Carl, because the truth of the matter is I don't prepare people to be introduced to the topic. By the time they have discovered my book or they have attended one of my CMO sessions or marketing workshops, they're already curious about the topic. So my job is to further inform them what mindful marketing is about and create some new possibilities on how these principles can really dramatically transform the way that they market and the way they show up at work.
I see. If somebody's not used to anything that even comes close to the realm of holistic medicine, holistic wellness, and is there a good way to break that ice and make that so they're a little less afraid of it?
I have never had anyone say they're afraid of it. So if they're, you know, that nervous about it or uncomfortable, that's fine. And there's no should around this. If they're not interested in it and things are going well for them and they have other ways in which to make their businesses run better or their lives run better, then I'm all for it.
There's no should around this. I love it. That's great. Okay. What keeps you passionate about mindfulness and marketing?
Carl, what I enjoy most is watching the impact on my clients. One of the greatest rituals that we practice, particularly in my private CMO communities, is we have something called a check-in process. And if I could back up for a minute, I define mindfulness and mindful marketing as staying present and focused on the task at hand without judgment. So getting a group of people to get present and focused on whatever our topic is or our intentions for a meeting, and using the check-in process and watching them transform from being in a hurry, addicted to their phones, and really scattered to being really present and focused for each other is where the magic begins. And that's where they begin to feel more grounded and capable of acting and becoming much more innovative in their daily lives. And that's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Wonderful. When you started this research, was there someone in particular you were specifically aiming to help?
Yes. In fact, about 3 years ago, I was starting to notice the dramatic shift in how marketers were expected to operate in their daily lives. And with the onslaught of big data and the demands on marketers to suddenly demonstrate that they can generate sales revenue, as well as the implicit tension between themselves, IT, customer service, sales, and finance, I knew they were under tremendous pressure to perform and to perform differently. So imagine if suddenly you were told that you had to get an MBA in sales, finance, and technology in order to do your job every day.
Wow.
That's a lot of pressure. So I initially set out to help them make sense of this barrage of new information that they're expected to use in their daily jobs. And mindful marketing, to me, became a more important practice than them trying to study more about the benefits of big data. And it wasn't about them learning to do more. It was about them learning to be more.
You said 3 years. Is that when the spark really took?
Yes, it was actually. That was when I started to experiment with the idea of bringing together senior marketing executives in a private setting where they could solve problems, address chronic issues, and most importantly, create a safe haven for them to create and innovate in new ways. And so I started offline by just seeing how these communities would thrive. And now I have the largest private community of CMOs in the metropolitan DC area. So there was obviously a real, real desire for that sense of connection and sharing. And then with help from my book mentor, my coach, I decided to publish my next book around the topic of mindful marketing.
Wonderful. How did your past lead you to mindfulness and marketing?
Well, I tend to not work and focus too much on the past. However, there were a couple of mile markers that are worth noting. And the first one was that 16 years ago, my husband and I were living in San Diego, and I had a terrific career with a professional services firm that provided sales, consulting, and training. And we were one of the best in the industry. And I really loved my work until our company got acquired by a really large software company. And suddenly the focus went from selling outstanding value to our clients to being obsessed about stock price and revenue goals. And I was such a cultural misfit, I really had to turn on a dime and determine whether I wanted to stay with the company or reinvent myself. So I needed a lot of support, and it was my first foray into studying mindfulness and meditation as a way to get centered and clear on what was next for me. So for the last 16 years, I've been pretty much a knowledge junkie, and I've invested tens of thousands of dollars in personal development, coaching, certifications of all sorts, and learning from masters of all types. So that was one thing. And then the thing that really tipped me over the second mile marker was September 11th. Where it was very jarring to me in many ways. And really forced me to ask the tough questions of, you know, how did I want to spend the next 60 years of my life?
Right. Well, I think your message is important and your perspective is very unique as someone who leads a community of CMOs. What do you think inspires your style of leadership?
You know, Carl, I have no idea what my style of leadership is. I don't study. I don't even ask myself that question. All I do is make sure I'm asking my clients the right questions and that I poke and provoke them in a way that's compassionate yet exciting for them. And as long as I keep doing that and reminding myself that it's my job to serve them and be and bring them great value on a regular basis, that's pretty much what drives me.
Excellent. Do you have a favorite question that you like to ask yourself to keep yourself sharp?
Yes. Every day, whether I do this in my meditation or when I have my check-ins with my accountability partner, or even when I do check-ins with my husband, which is a ritual for discerning what's different and, you know, what have I been doing that's working in my performance? What isn't working in my performance? For what am I grateful today? And what are my intentions for the coming day or the coming week? Whenever I have those kinds of check-in conversations with myself, those conversations always begin with what's different. And that question alone, if anyone listening could just take 30 seconds in the morning and close your eyes and ask that one question of what's different from last week at my job. What's different this morning versus yesterday? Those are questions that start to train your brain to really learn discernment. And discernment and the ability to observe one's mind and where the mind goes is a tremendous skill that allows you to be more mindful as a marketer. So it's amazing how tightly mindfulness and neuroscience currently go hand in hand, and the wonderful connections between, you know, the benefits of mindfulness and the benefits to your brain. It's a tremendous time to be alive and see all these things coming out in science and research.
Beautiful. That was very interesting. What is just one powerful action a marketer should do to become more mindful?
The first thing a marketer could do is to go to my website and take 2 minutes. Go to themindfulmarketer.com/bonus. And I created something called the Mindful Marketing Meter. It's a 2-minute survey with 20 different areas it looks at to see, how do you currently go through your day as a marketer? And you can discover there even just one or two areas that you can dramatically improve to make your day more focused and more productive. And more importantly, to get closer to understanding and relating in a mindful way to your teammates and your customers. So I'd say that's a good place to start. And it's certainly worth 2 minutes to try it out.
That's very generous. Thank you for that. Do you have a favorite story of mindful marketing at work?
I have several, actually. And as you know from reading the book,
yes,
there are several examples of companies who have now embraced mindful marketing and the 5 qualities of mindful marketing that I outline. The one that I remember immediately is when I spoke with Barbara Messing, and she is the CMO of TripAdvisor. And this is a company headquartered in Boston. And if you're like me, you've used TripAdvisor many times to make important hotel and travel decisions. She said something really profound to me. And because when she started there over 3 years ago, she noticed that there were a lot of priorities that were out of sync and people were stressed out. And she said, for us, as a team here at TripAdvisor, it's the ability to step away from the noise and give your mind the opportunity to pause, connect, and refresh. And what she's done is she's now really eliminated the resistance she initially got to mindful behaviors. So she has strongly discouraged people from multitasking, from always having their phones on, and she prevents people from coming to meetings with their, you know, using their phones or using their laptops. And the only time they'll use their laptops is if they have to double check on a calendar request. But other than that, whenever they do any offsite meetings or discuss strategy, they are not using technology or devices. And she said the employee engagement scores are off the charts, and they've seen tremendous improvements in that area since she joined.
Wow.
So that's just one of many people. I spoke to over 175 people and sources for the Mindful Marketer, and that's just one.
Well, that sounds right in line with Vacations, a company that provides trips. That's great.
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic though, isn't it? I mean, they're in the business. They are a technology business with a powerful big data engine behind them, and they're teaching themselves to unplug. It reminds me a lot of what we're seeing at Google, which has courses on meditation and starts many of their meetings with a minute of silence just to help people get centered and grounded.
That's so cool. What should a day in the life of a mindful marketer look like?
If a person chooses to be a mindful marketer, it has to be their choice. So I'm not going to let anybody should on themselves. That's the thing about mindful marketing that I love, is I'm not proselytizing it and I'm not recommending people be mindful marketers. My only job is to present evidence that it has dramatically improved the quality of marketing organizations and their ability to make innovative and informed choices and decisions. So there isn't really anything they should do. The only thing they might want to do is read my book and see if there are some ideas in there that resonate with them.
Absolutely. Okay. What are the top 5 unexpected insights that you found in your research?
Oh gosh, 5 insights. There were actually the insights that I'm getting just continue to evolve. And since half of what I do is research-based, the other half, though, is pragmatic application in our daily lives. The learnings just continue to show up for me, Carl. And one of the things that surprised me is that mindful marketers exist in all different industries. That's the first thing. I got a call from a $13 billion consumer goods company the other day saying, we're moving away from focusing on the bottom line. And we want to incorporate the mindful marketer principles across our entire marketing organization. Can you help us? So, I mean, they are a 75-year-old company. So that's the first thing that was really exciting. The second thing that was very exciting is that it's not a wholesale change. It's taking one step at a time and making small shifts. Things as simple as having a check-in process that takes 30 seconds before you start your meeting, or creating what I call breathing space so that we stop stacking our meetings back to back. We're not even able to reflect on the last meeting or prepare for the next meeting because we're confusing being busy with being effective. Those small things are really big insights for me. And I'd say because I know we're running out of time. The third insight that has been really exciting for me is that CEOs are also very interested in mindful marketing because many of them see themselves as marketers, not just leaders of a company. So people like Brian Halligan, who's the CEO of HubSpot, got his hands on a copy of my book and was just so excited. He said, please come up and teach my entire company what mindful marketing is all about. So the far-reaching implications of this are just beginning to affect people. And I'm just excited to be along for the ride.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay. If you were to teach a class in this topic, what would that look like?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I've actually been leading sessions for my clients. And the workshops I'm doing right now are called Leading the Mindful Marketing Revolution. And the design of the session is for them to walk away with, number one, identifying the opposite of mindful marketing in their daily lives, which I call mindless marketing. So what are some of the mindless marketing behaviors that stop us from being effective and that cause us to be order takers, not strategic market makers in our respective companies? So the first is creating an awareness and identifying those specific behaviors. The second is outlining the qualities of a mindful marketer and sharing examples of that. And then the third area of the session that is really powerful is giving them specific actions they can take to not only optimize their own behavior and approaches to marketing and applying these principles, but also drilling down and looking at how their language is used in their companies to communicate their company's value. So we go in and we look at their marketing communications, their public relations, their press releases, their internal memos, to see if those are written in a mindful way or they're written in a mindless way with way too many sports metaphors or military metaphors behind them. So that's been really powerful to see those workshops come to life.
Oh, that's interesting. I like hearing the layers there between a person's communication and the business's communication style. That's very interesting. After somebody reads your book and they just get deep into it and they love this, is there a resource that you recommend for further inspiration and growth on the topic?
I continue to publish articles. I think I have about 400 of them now on energizegrowth.com. You can go to just click on the blog, and I am updating that and showcasing mindful marketers whenever I can, actually several times a week. There's something new out there. People can also follow me on Fast Company, which is lisafast.com. So those are some additional resources. And then I invite people in my communities to drop me a line if they're practicing some of these principles, to share what's working or what's not working. Because the real ideas and the new innovations for my next book will certainly come from my community.
Beautiful. What do you think the future of mindfulness in the industry will look like?
Well, number one, I truly believe there are three major trends that we'll see as it relates to mindful marketing. Number one, I believe that there is a backlash against big data that is right around the corner, and it's slowly bubbling up in our society. All you have to do is look at what's going on with the movement of raw foods, slow food movements, which is, you know, really eating farm to table. And also there is a slow reading movement, which, you know, I think is reflecting people's pushback around this obsession with technology. People gather in major cities all across America just to sit together and read quietly. And I think this is a huge opportunity for marketers to step back and say, are there ways we can communicate and engage with our customers without using technology? The other thing is just look at the number of millionaire entrepreneurs under the age of 20. So as seasoned professionals who work for corporations are aging and baby boomers are not yet ready to formally retire, we're going to see more entrepreneurs on the baby boomer side. And marketers are also going to have to help entrepreneurs who are extremely young, who have money to spend and want to do things in a different way as they look at growing businesses. And then the third is that mindful marketers will reach out and look at the broader trends in the world, either you know, what they can do to collaborate with universities who are fostering and educating big data experts and data scientists. And they will also need to work more with really high-end recruiters to fill the demands for great people and to, you know, grow the breadth and depth of people on their teams. So they're going to have to get creative on where they find those people. And if they can do that mindfully and deliberately, you know, they're going to have great breakthroughs.
Fantastic. All righty. Well, we will have links and notes to every site and resource that you mentioned on spiralmarketing.com. But what is the very best place for people to go to learn more about you and to reach you?
People can go to either energizegrowth.com, or if they want direct information about my latest book, they can go to themindfulmarketer.com. And there's some videos and some reviews as well on my Amazon page.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Hopefully you've been listening to this episode, thinking about how to incorporate mindfulness into your life and work to be more effective. Lisa has a huge amount of research and reference materials along with her mindfulness meter, all linked back at her show notes at spiralmarketing.com. And you should look deeper, but remember that you have to decide your own plan and pathways to becoming more mindful. The good news comes from an old quote that is, "Mindfulness is everywhere. So said the Buddha." Thanks for listening, folks. Cheers. Thank you.